Good evening. You turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Begin with the image and the sight that the Israelites saw at Mount Sinai or at Horeb. And this was the sight right before God had given the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus 19 we read, verse 18 through 19 says, "Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder." Later on, Moses brings this image to memory and urges the Israelites to keep God's commandments and to teach it to their children. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 7, beginning in verse 7, down through verse 14, it says, For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on Him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, a darkness, a cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments. And He wrote them on two tablets of stone. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it." Going on to the next chapter, in chapter 5, in the reiteration of the scene of the Ten Commandments, Moses reminds them of their fear when they saw this scene on the mountain, and we find out something about God's desire for His people. In chapter 5, in verse 22, after chapter 5 and the reiteration of the Ten Commandments, we pick up in verse 22 saying, Moses speaking here, "These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain, from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom, with a great voice, and He added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. You said, 'Behold, the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet He lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" So here they're telling Moses, "Hey, go for us here. We don't want to die." And God acknowledges that if they continue to do so, that's what's going to happen. Verse 27, "Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it." These are the words of the Israelites. Let me read that one more time. "Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it." Verse 28, "The Lord heard the voice of your words," this is Moses speaking to the Israelites, saying, "when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken.'" But here's the kicker, verse 29. It's what the Lord says to Moses to tell to the Israelites. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever." See, God's desire for the Israelites to keep His commandments weren't for the benefit of God. They were for the benefit of the Israelites, for the benefit of his people, of God's people, to keep his commandments and to not only to protect them and to keep them to their hearts, but to teach them to the generations to come, to teach them to their children, so that the benefits of those commands that were given to them would continue on, not only for that generation, but for the generation to come. The laws and the statutes given to them would continue on further on. They've been taken out of Egypt. They've been protected. They've been cared for. They'd seen God's power. They'd heard his voice, and they hadn't died. And still, they did not possess the heart that God would want them to possess. Despite all the signs, they still hadn't turned their hearts completely to God. They still hadn't turned their hearts completely over to the one that had protected them, to their father. And even now, it's the same sort of thing for us. God expects us to have our hearts completely turned to him. We don't have the signs that we have that they had, the Israelites had then, but we still do have signs recorded for us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As was discussed today in the class, the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." And in this evening, you've heard the word of God. The question is, have you believed? The question is, the words that you've heard here and the signs that have been revealed for us in Scripture, have you believed? If it is for you, please come now. There's no point in waiting. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you have not believed and been baptized, come now. Now's the time. Or if you're a brother here, somebody that has already been accepted and has already been baptized, and yet you need some help, come forward now. Let us help you in any way. And go ahead and do so now as we stand and sing.